Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are we having fun yet?
Right? From those commercials?
Beer commercials.
Right?
Hi. I'm Alexander Chester, and I learned a few tricks on the main streets of Minnesota, so just leave it to me, okay?
And I'm Av Sedensky, and I'm a hack and a sellout who knows nothing about hard sci-fi.
Welcome back to Pretty Good, formerly a Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast, and presently a Party Down podcast. We are here today to discuss Season 2, Episode 8, Joel Muntz's Big Deal Party. Now, Av, do you pronounce it Big Deal Party or Big Deal Party?
Big deal party.
In other words, is it a big deal or it's a big deal party?
No, it's a big deal party.
All right.
Most valuable.
But is deal party the
name? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, you got it. All right. Well, anyways, which originally aired on...
It's Joel Muntz's big deal party.
Yeah, no, that's what I was asking you. In other words...
No, his last name is Big.
Oh,
his middle name is Muntz apostrophe S. Muntz was big. It's Joel Muntz's big deal party.
Yeah. Okay. But I was asking because deal could be adjective for party, right? It's a deal party. That's what kind of party it is. Like we have closing deal parties, and then this is a big one. Or can we know the party is a big deal? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
It originally aired on June.
But is it Joel Muntz's big deal party? Like this is his party, or? Mm-hmm. It's a party celebrating Joel Muntz's big deal.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Is he a big deal or is it just a big party?
This might not even be his party.
Yes.
Why are we assuming this is his party? Right.
Yes. Yeah.
He could be a guest.
Anyway, it originally aired on June 11, 2010. And we were supposed to do this podcast like multiple times and multiple extremely important interruptions delayed us. Yeah.
Mostly me being tired.
Well, I think I said we would do it on certain nights and then, you know.
Yeah, some of them were your fault, but some of them were my fault. Some of them were was wives' fault.
Yeah, I think mutual. Let's blame everybody but ourselves. How about that?
Okay, fair. It's Zach Brooks' fault for noticing.
Yeah, it's the Democrats' fault, anyway. But yeah, so I have notes. You have notes. We've obviously done multiple reviews of the episode. But we were discussing. Neither one of us has seen the episode in a few days. Neither one of us has seen it since
a few days, like 10 days.
Since the first time that we thought we were recording. Well, not 10 days. I think like 6 or 7. No, we're, I don't know. Anyway, maybe 10.
I probably today is Monday. I probably watched this last Saturday night, if I have to guess, around then. So I'm like 9 days ago.
Yeah, so we were supposed to have recorded initially 6 days ago, right? Initially, yeah. Okay, so it would be a minimum of 7 to 11 days, let's say. So we thought what we're gonna try and do, and maybe this will fail, maybe you won't even, maybe you're not even hearing this, but hopefully you are. Is we're gonna try
Zach,
and play
Zach Brooks is.
Yeah,
we know we have one listener.
Yeah, we're gonna try and play the episode. It's 27 minutes, and I think that includes some. Credits. So it's like, wait, 25 minutes and we can pause, but we'll play the audio. We'll pause and discuss. Almost like sometimes you watch clips. We're going to watch the whole episode. And if it doesn't work, we won't do this again and we'll give you your money back for this episode.
Yeah. You'll 100% refund. We talked about doing this with a Curb episode, but then we just never ended up doing it. So we're going to do it with Party Down. We'll see how it is. Maybe we'll end up doing this. This will be the show from now on. We'll just, rather than me having to write down notes of everything that happened in the episode and paying someone in Bangladesh to do that for me, we could just watch it live.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that going forward.
You're stealing from the Bangladeshi economy.
I'm not stealing anything. I'm paying.
No, I'm saying you're proposing. You want to get rid of their jobs.
Yeah, they got dollars per hour.
You want to bring the job of watching the episode back to America.
Yes. Yes, we want to. We want to keep those.
Now, did you see? You're slightly delayed. I recorded a podcast on Sunday night with someone who was also slightly delayed. So I'm wondering if it's my problem.
Sounds like it is. 100% of the podcast you recorded this week had this problem.
Yeah, but I've used Zoom many times since then without the problem. So I don't know.
Well, maybe anyway, it's because we're also streaming the video. That's probably not helping things.
Oh, well, yeah. So do you listen to the podcast Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend?
I listened to a few episodes of it when it started, but it didn't land for me. So I moved on.
It's in the conversation for my favorite podcast. But the reason I bring it
really?
Up is because today's guest, today when we're recording, yesterday, when you're listening to this, hopefully, was Lizzie Caplan.
Oh, cool. Was she on to talk about Fleischman?
Yes. Well, I mean, it was talked about not at all. I think it was mentioned in passing once or twice. So I guess, but ostensibly, I mean, that's why she's making the media rounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's on my list. I really hope that that show is very good because in my head, the reason why she's not doing season 3 of Party Down is because she was doing this Fleischman show instead.
The same way she left the first time for Masters of Sex.
Right.
Which I think was very, well regarded by critics, if not very well much seen.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I haven't done even the basic research to see when Fleischman filmed.
Which is really, you could say it all.
In order to provide any evidence for this allegation that I've made, but we're just going to stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's been discussed on this podcast, but I did not remember that she was not in season 3 at all. That's disappointing.
Yeah, it is disappointing because she's among my favorite parts of the show. We'll have to see how
she's part of the main relationship in the show as well.
Yeah, she's like the main storyline of the show.
Yeah, but she did mention Party Down once in passing. She described it as a show that nobody saw.
Which
is not ideal.
Well, we definitely know that me, you, and Zach Brooks have seen it, so yeah, that's not nobody.
Yeah, she's a real Akiva Wienerker when it comes to Party Down. She's a hater.
Oh, is Kiva a hater of Party Down?
He was just a hater of us doing a podcast about it because he said nobody would see it. Oh. Nobody cares about the show. Nobody watches the show.
Yeah, and he wasn't way off.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we didn't expect to, attract another 10,000 listeners every week. But
we did not attract an additional 10,000 listeners in addition to the ones we previously had. Yeah. That did not happen.
Yes. All right. So is there any other things we need to discuss, or should we press play and see what happens?
Let's press play and see what happens. Maybe we could find some magic here.
All right. The audio issues may diminish the opportunity to see what happens, but we'll give it a try.
Discretion advised.
We gotta go.
Why?
Because we're late and Ron is gonna freak out.
So what?
So
I have no picture.
Would have made him pee later.
Yeah, with good reason.
Oh really? Oh, so you can't see?
Correct.
Oh, can you hear?
I can hear. So I'll also go with hearing. That's fine. I have notes that are good enough.
You're in the position.
I'm in the same position as the listeners.
Yeah,
correct.
So you can say if this is bad or good, or how bad.
Fine. Okay.
Okay. All right. So all right, we're gonna restart. Or just carry on.
That's that's Casey and Henry, by the way.
Yes, Casey
that are making out.
And Henry making out, and they are worried that, or one of them is worried that they should stop making out because they have to go do their jobs.
The following is intended only for mature audiences.
Sorry.
Your discretion advised.
You better be mature if you're listening.
Professionalism, perfectionism, proactive, be on time.
You know that
I have a proactive.
That Hulu noise is not iconic.
Not at all. That's and then this it's the stars noise. Also,
no con. Yeah. No yeah. con.
Yeah. That's is HBO and NBC are the top two for sure, right?
Netflix, I think, also is up there.
Wait, what's the Netflix one again? I can't think of
it. It's like that. It's just like a drum beat, like boom.
Oh, the thing that, yeah.
The thud, like the Netflix thud. I don't even know how to describe it.
I think the fact that you can't audioly describe it the way you can for, NBC or, well, I guess HBO you can't either, though.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good job. And then, All right.
The Netflix is like, doo-doo. Right there.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the episode.
Ron Donald Dues, okay? The four P's and one B. Politeness, professionalism, perfectionism, proactive, be on time.
I have a proactive suggestion.
No, you know what? I think we get the system.
Okay, then what don't you understand, Kyle? What are you doing? Don't do that.
Punctuality.
What? No, don't do that.
No, it's five P's.
No, I already have four P's. That's an RDD.
That's a Ron Donald do?
No, Ron Donald don'ts.
This is so confusing, Ron.
You know what I don't get? Who says you get to be boss?
I do. As boss, I have that authority.
You can't do that.
Yeah, I can, and I did.
Okay, well, hey, guys, guess what? I'm the boss now.
You can't do that because you're not the boss. You know, can I finish, please? Three RDDs, I dock your pay.
You can't do that, Ron.
Yes, I can chew. And, Roman, that's an RDD.
A do? This is the dumbest fucking strategy for productivity.
Henry, is Ron really the boss?
Yeah, Ron's in charge, everybody.
See? Not that what he says matters.
Hey, sorry I'm late, everybody. I wanted to get my hair done for tonight.
Example, Lydia, RDD.
What? What's that?
Ron Donald, don't.
Ron hates your hair.
I love because the RDDs are so confusing and stupid, right? How it's both the positives and the negatives. That when she says she's done her hair and he points to her and says that's an RDD, like you assume he's going with a do, right?
Yeah, the whole system is very confusing.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And now she's crying.
What?
Oh, no, no.
No.
No. Henry.
You're in charge.
The party down music is iconic.
It is good music. I don't know if it's iconic, but it's very good.
We are a real Hollywood party, finally. Everyone's in the business. It's so hip.
Yeah, we got we have Escapade on the phone here, not on the episode.
Yeah, now it's a little confusing to me. Is this like the Hollywoodiest party that they've had, or maybe just since Lydia's been on board? Like, when did they have the Sweet 16 party? Was Lydia not there for that? I guess she wasn't. Yeah, because we still had Jane Lynch then.
Yeah, that was season one. Yeah,
and the school fundraiser also, was that also season one?
No, the fundraiser was season two, right? Because that's when we had the return of J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, that's true. Turn the next season, yeah. So I mean, that was a more Hollywoody event than this one.
I guess Tom Hanks was basically there.
This is a party for the industry, and I guess that's a party just of people who happen to be in the industry. So I guess that's the difference here. But yeah. So Lydia's trying to sell it to her daughter.
Doctors like bad news. It's cancer.
Somebody's pitching a movie right beside me.
It's not a movie. This is my life. I'm fucking dying.
Now we have Roman walking the party. An attractive woman wants to humiliate him. And who is that? But
Roman, long time no see.
Paul Scheer.
You gotta be shitting me, Munt.
Ask how it's going, Andre. But I think this speaks for itself.
Now, so Paul Scheer follows his real life wife, June Diane Raphael, by 1 week, and he's playing Roman's ex writing partner, who apparently is the Joel Munt, who is either the big deal or having the big deal party, but in either way has a very attractive date.
Maybe the party is in Deal, New Jersey.
Mm. Oh, so Joel Munt may not be big or small or anything. He's just happened to have a big party in Deal.
Correct. This is a big deal party. Yeah. Or maybe Deal is meant to be a double entendre. It's a party in Deal to celebrate the closing of a deal.
Yeah.
That should be the big deal party.
Definitely possible. By the way, the extras in the background of this scene, as I pause it to discuss, are wearing like the same striped shirt, which is kind of funny. All right. But you can't see that.
No, I can't see that at all. No, I could hear them. I could hear them silently.
Who knows about hard sci-fi?
They're using their indoor devices.
Who knows nothing about hard sci-fi?
Yeah, that's why I'm throwing this fucking party. Celebrate the huge spec cell of my sci-fi script. I think I know 1.5 million times more about sci-fi than you do, loser. Read paragraph two.
That's a lot of times.
Now, hold on a second. Let's pause for a second. Was Roman unaware until this moment about the purpose of the party? I guess, is it not officially called Joel Munt's Big Deal Party? Because every other event we've had was officially called, like on the contract, for example, it would have said the thing of what it actually was, right? So it must have said Joel must stay on the contract. Like, he must have said, what are we doing here? And he must have been aware that this was going to happen, right? Or he was just told, well, it's some Hollywood party.
Yeah, or maybe he thought this just, like, dumbass Joel Munt that he used to know is throwing some stupid party. Like, didn't realize because, like, he got
the adaptation rights.
So.
If you're hired to work at a party about some guy who you've had a falling out with, I think you'd look into the reason for it, right? You know,
yeah,
if you got an invitation in the mail or either as a guest or to work something, I think, and it was somebody you knew, you'd just say, oh, what's this about? Also, and this is sort of a frequent issue I have, the episodes always start sort of like all of a sudden, like we're mid party, like there's a bunch of guests there, but like none of the staff people have seen anybody, like they come out and this like their first exposure to the party, right? Like all of a sudden, like he hasn't seen any of these other sci-fi people, like, you know, like the famous author who we're going to meet in a moment. Roman hasn't seen him. Roman hasn't seen Joel. Roman hasn't seen anybody yet. So, but this isn't the picking. Let's trying to figure out the correct grammatical structure.
What's wrong with that picking?
The title of the episode.
They're making Axiomalian into a movie?
What idiot would hire you to adapt a genius book like that?
Actually, the author, A.F. Gordon Theodore. Perhaps you heard of him. A.F.! Are you having a good time?
A Calvados, two lovely companions in conversation. I'm in the seat named for the proverbial cat bird.
Well, if you need anything, let me know, and this young man will fetch it for you.
Well, what is your take on the acting role of the performance of AF all episode long?
Oh, he's completely bonkers.
It's so over the top, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's an absurd role.
Yeah, like, I mean, he is funny, but he is the least realistic character, I would say, in the show's history. Like, nobody talks like that.
Like, yeah, I mean,
close friends, you sort of, you know, talk in, you know, using sort of puns and inside, like, but like, you don't do this with, like, I don't know. He's very forced, I think. There's a lot of this episode I don't buy. We're going to meet Bubbles in a different role. We're going to have some cocaine, but all right.
Love Bubbles.
Right, let's get back to our episode here.
Game, set, match. Joel Munt. Now, get some champagne.
Roman is
upset. Yeah, Danielle, it's going great. The new system is really helping discipline. RDDs, do's and don'ts. Yeah, maybe you should tell your dad about it.
Hey, how's it going, team leader?
I gotta go.
Did he have a call with a hun?
How's it going? Good. Oh, good. You know, lots of angles, problem solving, you know. Do I take a man out, get backup glasses, or do I risk running low? Things like that.
Well, would you like my advice? This is like a former team leader talking shop.
Just like talking shop?
Yeah, sure. I would go get the glasses.
Henry, get glasses. I'll cover bar.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's simple.
Feels good. Yeah.
Fun party, huh? Well, wouldn't you know it? I came in here to powder my nose and I came and find the stuff. Oh, well, thank you very much.
The rolled up bill.
Oh man, it is like producers galore. I am networking like a motherfucker. Oh, and the host asked about like some champagne or whatever. What are you leaving?
RDD, our host, my old writing partner, hired us just so he can fucking humiliate me. So I'm glad you're having a good time kissing ass. But I'm not hanging around all night so I can be a fucking revenge pinata.
Whoa, man. You can't retreat. You gotta strike back. Revenge is a dish best served. Shakespeare? You know, like waiters and servants.
Revenge! Don't do it! That's in the Bible. Although, we're only human. I know I am, right? One time I got revenge on someone by putting tuna fish in the AC vents of her car, but then we ended up carpooling. What? So you better be careful, because sometimes revenge backfires and you end up with a fish snap. My mouth is dry. Oh, I think my contacts just popped out. Where did you go, Mr. Contacts?
Lydia, you okay?
Okay! I'm great! I've always wanted to be in a big Hollywood party, and now I am! Woo!
Right.
All right. I said AF was the most unrealistic person. Like, I don't have cocaine experience, but like Lydia's behavior is just way too over the top here, right?
I guess. I mean, I guess you never know when it's like somebody's like first time doing something, or like when they don't expect it. Like, there's a mental aspect of like leaning into it when you know what it is.
Yeah, well, it's like a placebo effect. Like, you know, I think what it reminds me of, honestly, is like the famous Adam Sandler sketch, like, oh, I'm so drunk. And then, oh, that was non-alcoholic beer. Oh, I'm so wasted. Oh, you're smoking oregano. Oh, I'm so dead. Oh, those were blanks in the gun. Remember that one?
No, I don't. That's good though. Okay. I'm so dead.
Yeah. So the guy's like talking about how drunk he is, and he's some loser, and they all mock him, and they say, oh, we actually give you non-alcoholic beer. And then the next one is they gave him oregano to smoke, and then they give him a gun with bullets, and he thinks he's committed suicide, and he's in heaven, and he sees his grandfather, and they tell him, you know, those are blanks. And that's sort of what I immediately think of here. It's like, and maybe you're right. Maybe part of the experience of a party, of a concert, of drugs, of alcohol, of all these things is the knowledge that like certain behavior. I mean, it's the same reason that you laugh much louder in a comedy club than you do watching the same show at home.
Right. For sure.
So maybe it's unfair of me to say that she's being totally artificial, but I think she's being pretty artificial.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the actor is probably not really on cocaine.
Yes. Yes. I think, I think you're probably correct. All right. So here's Kyle though, being a good bud to Roman, isn't he? Surprisingly, or maybe not. Maybe, yeah. I think that's Kyle's personality.
Yeah, he could be a come with guy when he wants to be.
Yeah, you've compared it before to the Silicon Valley relationship between what are the characters' names?
Dinesh.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And
Guilfoyle. Yes. Yeah. And although in this sense, I guess Dinesh is the one who is sort of like the Roman in that no matter how much he's attacked, he's still sort of loyal. Although he also tries to get revenge on Guilfoyle. I don't know. Anyways, we don't have to make that comparison too strongly. All right, should we press play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
All right, well, let's think about this. He's here with all of his fucking fake friends. What's at stake is his image.
Wait, what are you doing?
I'm trying to think of a good revenge.
Oh, dude, pissing his champagne.
Simple. Casey and Henry are making out in front of the truck. Or,
see?
Against the van, I should say.
Responsibility.
It's good. It's really good. What?
Shit.
What?
I don't have my keys.
Okay, where are they?
I think they're in my coat.
Okay, where's your coat?
In the van. Oh,
God.
Okay, so there's no supply closet, nothing in there?
No, that supply closet, I can't.
Okay.
It's fine. I'll call AAA.
No. That'll take forever. Okay. Older models.
By the way, I love the fact that his first reaction is not, oh shit, how do I get the keys to open the van that we need? It's, do you want to go have sex in the supply closet?
Well, I mean, you keep your eye on the prize. The van is besides the point.
I'm not disagreeing. I totally agree. But that's totally smokes. You're like, you know, listen, he doesn't have the responsibilities anymore. He gave up team leader.
Yeah. But the van is merely a means to an end.
Yes, exactly. At some point, somebody needs to get in this van. But yeah, we'll discuss.
At some point, right. Yeah, whatever. By the end of the night.
I'll pop the lock.
In the meantime, there are sex in the van.
The outsiders?
Hey, I learned a few tricks on the mean streets of Wisconsin, Casey. So leave it to me, all right?
Well, I know he's going for effect there. But you wouldn't say the mean streets of Wisconsin if you're actually from Wisconsin. You'd say Madison or Milwaukee or Green Bay or Oshkosh or, you know, Sheboygan.
Right.
But anyway.
My dad is from Wisconsin now.
I can't go if you're talking.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, no.
Our personal place of geography is no one's choice but their own. Domicile, I should say, geography. Wait, yeah, what do you mean he's from Wisconsin now, though? What does that mean?
He lives there.
Your dad lives in Wisconsin?
Yeah, he's crazy. He moves around a lot. He works at different hospitals.
He moved to Wisconsin?
He did.
No, he's no longer my neighbor.
Your neighbor.
Well, within a couple miles, a town over.
Well, no, he still owns that house. Don't worry.
But how frequently is he there? Very infrequently.
He's not there at all. But he's 2 weeks in Wisconsin and then 2 weeks wherever my mom is, which is currently Florida.
Ah, okay. Oh, so that house is empty, so we should break in and steal things.
Everyone should break in. Yes, go steal things.
Yeah. Ask me privately. Message me not in the group chat, but privately. I will give you the address and the code to the security system.
Sure, we'll do that.
Okay. I have permission.
Chester definitely doesn't know the code to this security system, so you'll be arrested.
That's what you think.
Stop.
The very first time I walked in your house, your mother gave me the keys to her car. True or false?
Probably. I don't, obviously don't remember that, but that does sound like her.
She had literally never met me. She said, "You know how to drive?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Drive out home to the doctor." She gave me the keys. I was very flattered. I'm like, I must have a very honest and responsible looking face. I feel like most 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds or whatever I was, I feel like most parents wouldn't give a strange 17-year-old the keys to their car. Or maybe she likes you so much that she's any friend of Av's must be very responsible, even though Av's not responsible enough to drive.
I wasn't not responsible. I just didn't get around to like doing the tests and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it could be argued that's irresponsible.
Yeah, wait, well, yeah. Why didn't you have a license? Now that I think about it,
I don't know. I got it like before I was like 18, but like I just didn't do it right away.
Oh, so it might have just been a matter of a few months. After I am much older than you, so
yeah, you are much older. I think you're younger than me.
Yeah, by 5 days.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, let's press play.
Stop watching me. I can see you out of my peripheral vision.
Can you urinate when someone's watching you?
Yeah.
No, I'm like the 1th percentile in that skill. I cannot go in like I can barely go in public urinals at all, especially like troughs at stadiums. Really? Forget about it. Yeah.
Oh, those don't really exist anymore.
No, I try and like close my eyes and like.
So you go into like a bathroom at like in your office when I just and there's like somebody else in there, you can't go?
If there's no divider, I mean, there's usually dividers in offices.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, so divider is fine.
Actually, no. Dividers like 50-50 because I still see their face. I hear them. They're like breathing. I don't know. If I walk into the bathroom at work and there's someone at a urinal, I go into a stall. For sure. But I feel like I don't feel like that's that uncommon. Like I've been peeing in a urinal. I've seen somebody come in and like their feet face the standing position. So not that I'm checking out people's feet under the stalls, but maybe I am. All right.
That's what that senator from Minnesota was doing. That's what you all other from Minnesota does.
Wide stance. That's what we do. Yeah, I learned some things on the main streets of Minnesota. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I once did go to that very bathroom like multiple times over the course of like one, like I must have gone there like 5 or 6 times because I was watching a Vikings game at the airport because like I had a flight and I didn't want to miss it, so I just like showed up early and I happened to be watching at a place that was like right next to that specific bathroom. So like repeatedly over the course of 3 hours because I was just having drinks or whatever, you know, I would go urinate there. The specific bathroom where Senator Larry Craig was caught, and which was allegedly known as a hookup zone, but it wasn't for me that day. Maybe I was not checking out people's wide stances enough. Anyway, I don't know how we got off on this. Oh, because Roman, like me, can't urinate with Henry staring at him.
Yes. Big problem.
I can't go. Just you do it.
No, you know what? It's your event. Okay?
They stole this from friends, by the way.
Just go, right? Please.
Who can actually pee? Joey steps up that time.
Fucking Hollywood. They take a masterpiece from an intellectual titan and hand it over to a fucking hack. What's the holdup?
Well, I just went like 10 minutes ago. Give me a break.
Fucking disaster.
You know what? No, I learned this in yoga class. I just need to sink into myself.
You know how to urinate in yoga find class? It.
They teach you how to control your pee in yoga?
Oh, everything Roman and I think
in the right state of mind, I can control every organ.
Kyle! Ooh. What are you doing?
Trying to piss in this glass.
Don't break his yoga state.
No, that's an RDD. Are you insane? Fuck. Forget it. You know what? It's broken.
Fuck. Ron. We need your urine.
Absolutely not. I'm team leader. So be there for the team, right? The host hired us to fuck with Roman.
It's payback. He drew first blood.
It's the code.
Shit. My first night back and you invoked the code. Damn it. Fine. Okay. I will give you your urine, but while I'm doing this, you two are going to recite the RDDs.
Okay.
Recite the RDDs.
You know,
productivity. No, the don'ts, Jesus.
All right. So we need to talk about this code, okay? There's apparently some party down code that once invoked can never be refused. But there's no other restrictions on its use. Like, why have we not seen it 1,000 times an episode?
That's a good question. Yeah.
We've never seen it before. Right, yeah. And so this episode, we're constantly, it's being invoked. It's invoked to Ron, invoked to Henry and everyone else. Once the code is invoked, like it must be followed. One has no.
It must be followed.
Yes.
No choice.
Yeah. Even if it's an RDD or an RDD. We're back at the party. A glass is being proffered.
No, that's actually for Mr. Munt.
You can get another. We're friends. There you are. Effervescence for the effervescent.
So you work with Joel? What the fuck?
Because there's a B on it. There was a B on it.
Joel and I are working together on Axiomalian.
This is A.F. Gordon Theodore. Only the greatest living sci-fi novelist.
Just in from British Columbia.
He lives on Orcas Island in a keep. It's like a little castle. It's awesome.
If you're ever on Orcas,
so
I'd love...
You're not a producer.
No.
Excuse me.
I didn't know you were here.
All right. So she holds the glass all the way up to her nose. He's about to take a sip. He slaps it. It splashes everywhere. No one smells the urine.
You're asking a lot of good questions this episode.
Yeah. Now, it might not
be 100%. You're on your game.
Now that I think about it, it's probably like a mixture. But it's probably mostly champagne, just a little bit of urine, right?
Yeah.
Because you need the bubbles, the effervescence, as he said. You don't want the overwhelming stench. You don't want to sting the nostrils.
No, you don't.
It's been consumed. Yeah. But what percent, like, what's the threshold? Give me the percentage or the over-under of where like you can't be too low because then it's not good revenge, but you can't be too high because you risk it. So like to you, what's your ratio of pee to champagne if you're trying to get this revenge?
Ideally you want it to be, I think you want it to be at least 50-50, because otherwise, like, what are you doing? It's like, okay, great. Oh, so you put 2% of pee in the champagne, like the person didn't even notice. Like,
okay, but that's a little bit of straw man. You're like, it has to be 50-50 because it can't be two. Okay.
Yeah, so I think it needs to be more pee than champagne for it to be sufficiently disgusting.
So if it's 51% champagne, not worth it. A waste of time.
I mean, I'm saying approximate, yeah. I mean, you could always, any number I say, you can go one number less and say, what about that number?
That's exactly
the point, so then any number is no good. So eventually you come to a rough idea of, okay, around 50%.
I'm saying 75-25 champagne to urine. It's got to be enough that even if they don't notice it on the immediacy, no, it's got to be enough that they notice it immediately, but not enough. It's got to be they hold it up to their lips, they put it in their mouth, they haven't noticed, they swallow, and as soon as they swallow, they're like, oh, fuck. And if it's 50-50, you're not getting to the swallow. You're lucky if you get it up to the lips even. You see, that's the risk.
Yeah, I guess. It is a risk. I'm willing to take the risk. I want to discuss
you. You only get one try here. You only get one try.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to roll the dice because I don't want to go to all this trouble and then have the person be like, oh, that was pretty good.
See, but like,
there was 0.4% of pee in there.
No, but see, but the worst case scenario is that you go to all this trouble and you get caught and they don't drink it at all. They pour it on you. They lift it up, they sniff it like what? And they dump it on your head. Now you got no revenge. You suffered a second cal injury. So I think I think it's better that they drink it and not realize than that they don't drink it because they realize. If we're sort of doing like the worst possible outcome. So yeah, I think 75-25. That's where I go. Okay. Although I probably have that intent, but it's like whenever I cook, I end up, I measure very, very carefully my measurements when I'm cooking. Like I follow the recipe very specifically. And then I'm like, and then I just dump in like extra of whatever the thing is if I want more of that thing, like a spice or sugar or whatever. So it's very funny though, how I'm like super diligent to like the millimeter. And then I'm like, whatever, who cares? Remember Jerry Seinfeld? Remember those old Amex commercials in like the 90s when paying for gas with a credit card was like a shocking idea?
Yeah, he had like the duel, right?
Yeah. Did you ever used to play? Oh, I think we probably played against you. The baseball game. We tried to do the stopwatch on 0-0.
That sounds familiar. Yes, I think I've played.
And
that
then like
game.
One off was a single, two off was a double, three off was a triple, or the other way around. Four off was a single, three off was a double, two off was a triple. Exactly.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Anyway.
We also played the game where you would make it say boobless.
Yes, of course.
If Pamela Anderson had 8 surgeries.
Yeah, it was 69-22.
So yeah, so that was
2-2-2.
Yeah,
that's what it was. It was 69-22-22. 51. Went to 51st Street. Spoke to Dr. X. 8 surgeries. Yeah. my son said to me the other day. He comes home from school yesterday, and he says to me, "Did you ever play the game Drug Dealer?" And I wasn't exactly sure what he meant. I wasn't sure what he was referencing. I'm sure I probably did, but he could be going a few different directions there. He's in fourth grade. He's almost 10. And so I just like,
was this the one on the scientific calculator?
I mean, that was the first one that came to my mind.
Yeah.
But I he happens to be like doing like different, he's like in eighth grade math one-on-one, but like even if so, he's one-on-one, he's not in a class with other people with calculators except his teacher, so there's no way he would have gotten that game, so it can't be that one.
Yeah. Do you remember the story in I think it was Rabbi Schimmel's class or Doc?
You're gonna have to give me more information.
Schimmel, did we call him Dr. Schimmel, or there was, I know he can went by different names at different schools, where somebody came, a kid walked into the class while somebody else in the class was playing this game, and then they walked out, and the kid in our class said, "Man, I love crackheads." And the teacher went on like this like long speech, like chastising this student, being like, "I can't believe you said that. Like, I hope that like you seek out that other student and tell him that, like, you know, you're sorry." And everyone's like, What are you talking about? He's talking about the stupid game. Yeah. He's playing on his calculator.
I don't remember this. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember this. Do I know the part of the specific individuals involved?
I know them. I wasn't going to say their name.
Yeah, well, I don't mean on the podcast, but after the podcast, but whatever. I don't remember.
Yeah, sure.
All right. If I remember to ask you after the podcast, but I don't want to have to edit it out. So let's go forth now. All right. So we're about to get the big AF Roman conversation. Yes, as that girl has just rejected AF.
Must be a good friend.
No,
I just sent you the Hulu.
I know. I'm a sci-fi writer too. They treat us like garbage. I can't believe I'm actually talking to you.
I was like, center court on the floor, motherfucker. We don't even get the bid on this fucker. Hey, I didn't get my champagne.
Oh, good.
No, bad, okay? Get my champagne.
Right.
Kyle, this man didn't get a champagne.
Dude, my piss isn't back yet.
Just champagne. So what are you going to do after this trilogy?
Another trilogy. Unifying all dimensions.
Like a three-dimensional trilogy. A non-ilogy.
Do a disilogy. Don't forget time.
Yeah, of course. It's so complex. That's why I love your stuff. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Of course. Why are you letting them make Axiom Alien a movie?
I'm intrigued by popular art forms, and I've always been curious to experience Hollywood, which Art Clark was discussing, and said that when they... Hello! I like your... On the phone, yes. And Joel seems devoted to the integrity of it, so there
you
go.
Joel? Yeah. Integrity? That's not Joel's forte, integrity. How long have you known him?
I met him once.
Waiter! Could you please not bother the guest of honor?
AF, having a good time?
Just conversing and trying to meet the local women folk.
Fuck trying. Danny, get your friend, what's her name? Excuse us, we're gonna have some blow with these ladies.
Oh, all right. Nice meeting you, lad.
Nice to meet you.
Lad. So who's the guest of honor? I thought it's Joel Mudd's big deal party, not AF's big deal party.
Sounds like AF is the guest of honor.
Yeah, what is the nature of, like, how did Joel Mudd get this role? Right? Because the network wouldn't have picked him because they don't know him from anything, right? Or the studio, I should say.
Yeah, and I wonder
writer,
if he picked...
And the writer didn't hire him because AF says he barely knows him. I've met him once.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just like wrote a spec script or something. I don't know. Yeah, he doesn't seem like big enough to have gotten this, like, what seems like a very big deal adaptation.
Yeah, you would need the blessing of the producer of the AF character who owns the IP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have that. Yeah, so it's...
Well, it sounds like he got his blessing. It's not... He didn't
sure,
go through
but,
him,
but who's the one... But how did he get in the door at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. He doesn't... Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
Now, we know not Roman.
Is it possible that Joel is so desperate to get back at Roman that this entire thing is a setup? The party, as he said, the whole purpose of this party is just to get revenge on Roman. All hired actors, AF is hired, everybody's here.
This is a rehearsal.
Yes, this is all a mass. Joel Mudd has spent, like, instead of spending $100,000 on this party, he spent $1 million on a fake party to trick Roman.
Yeah.
Well, that revenge doesn't last too long, because when Roman eventually realizes this movie's not coming anywhere. Yeah. Anyway, this show is probably not stealing rehearsal's idea 10 years earlier.
Shit, yeah. Well, that didn't go so well, did it? It's all right. I'm getting some pee stored up right now. Yeah. And I see a way I can get in between Joel and Theodore. Iago style. don't know what that is. Iago from Othello style. Board game?
The board game.
I can't talk to you anymore.
I'm more familiar with Iago from Aladdin.
Who's Iago in Aladdin?
The parrot.
Oh, his name is Iago?
Yeah.
Because of Shakespeare? Because of Othello?
I don't know. Because of. I'm sure it wasn't lost on them, but I don't know if it's because of. Could just be a name. You know, people have the same names.
Iago from Aladdin. Yeah. Why is he called? His name is an homage to the villain of William Shakespeare's Othello.
There you go.
But Iago's a good guy in Aladdin.
I don't remember.
He's a little bit
of in Aladdin? No, he's not a good guy at all. What do you mean? He's the second in command to Jafar. He's Jafar's sidekick.
Yeah, but is he really? Oh, wait, wait.
I thought you were saying he's good in Othello, which I honestly have no idea.
No, he's bad in Othello, and I have not seen Aladdin. Yeah,
he's definitely bad in Aladdin.
Okay. Have I not seen Aladdin? Oh, no, I did see Aladdin, actually, while I went to my kids. So I have seen it in the last 30 years. So bad job by me.
Oh, you should see Aladdin. Aladdin's great.
Yeah, I think I saw it because I'd heard that there was on Disney Plus, a warning acknowledging sort of the racial insensitivities or the stereotypes that it invokes. And so I sort of watched it with that interest. And then I watched it and I thought, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's pretty much okay. And
it's fine. Everyone should watch Aladdin.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Aladdin's great.
Well, that's just because you're an anti-parrotite. You hate parrots and you want them to be portrayed negatively in media always.
I hate parrots. I'm very pro-genie.
Yeah. Did you see the Will Smith
live action? Blue Genies matter. Yeah, it was horrible.
Because you hate Will Smith.
Basically all of those live action Disneys have been very disappointing.
Well, who are they for? Because kids don't like live action anyways. Like little kids prefer.
I don't know, but they make hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody likes them and they just make tons of money. It's very unusual.
That's why they're, yeah. I mean, I guess the same nostalgia. I guess you want to see that's what all Hollywood is, right? It's just retrading the same, IP over and over and over again. So,
yeah. And it's that families can go to it. So it's you're getting six for the price of one.
Yeah. But they could just release the initial animated version. But I guess it's hard to justify going to a theater for something.
Yeah. People aren't going to pay money for that.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going.
An interesting culture, Joel, this Hollywood. Will we be doing the coke off someone's tits or?
No.
Wait, no. Who promised you the role of Panopia?
You'd be a marvelous Panopia.
And Danny, I went to that fucking panda charity dinner with you, so you fucking owe this to me, okay?
Yeah, we just got your way here.
Hey, sterno jockey, let me tell you something, okay? Tell that guy with the glasses, I want my fucking champagne as soon as we're done doing blow. Off of tits.
Yep.
Joel, let it go.
No. You tell him exactly that.
I got it.
Let's go. Coke isn't going to blow itself.
If our movie opens, we're going to be doing this every night.
What the fuck is up with that? You get a scar? I thought you said these were real.
It's from my biopsy, dickhead.
So one.
So what is the nature of his relationship with this girl where he's had multiple dates with her? They went to the panda thing together, and yet he's never seen her without her shirt on until right now.
These are very good questions.
Yeah. And also, she's a very nice looking woman, but they do not appear to be stereotypically fake. So,
well, I wouldn't know, but they sound real.
You will.
Just.
That's spectacular.
Thusly.
That's spectacular.
What the fuck, man?
Oh, the best moment in the whole episode. So Av, you may not recall, but AF is given the thing with the cocaine in it, and he says, "I will go thusly," clink, and he throws the entire thing on this woman's breasts.
Yes, I recall that.
And all the cocaine is now all over the breasts and the floor, and we have a very frustrated Paul Scheer.
Man? Yes, I have written down AF dumps all the cocaine on the girl's breasts.
Yeah.
And spills it on the floor.
Stop it, what? Please. Because you're fashioning a tool.
Yes,
you're
with which I will open the van.
Fashioning a tool. Again, so? It's not gonna work. Hey, please just call AAA.
Casey, it'll work.
It's not gonna work. And then
earlier you said that his goal was on the sex and he wasn't gonna let anything else distract him, right?
Yeah, I guess he's gotten preoccupied.
But now she is trying to engage in affectionate behavior with him, derechiba, as some of us call it. And he's too distracted trying to fashion a device out of a metal hanger with which he can get into the van. So now he only wants to get into the van, actually.
Right. Even once he gets in, he's going to send Casey back.
It's like when George wants to out Neil, and he gets the girl, but he doesn't care. He just needs to know Neil. Yeah. And Henry, at this point, he just needs to get in the van. He no longer cares about the sex.
Exactly.
You have to prove a point. You have to, like, it's your thing. You have to prove that you're a man.
What do I have to prove? I have to prove
you sort
it.
Of have
hey,
to
guys, I need some pee. Completely dried up.
Wait, what?
This douchebag's been fucking with Roman, and now it's payback. The code?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the code?
The code. It's like a guy code.
You wouldn't get it.
Yep.
Shut up. There's not a dude code.
So this isn't even Party Down specific. This is just a general dude.
It's a general code. Guy code. Yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone ever forced you to urinate in a cup by invoking?
When a fellow bro needs something, you need to just do it. Yeah. You got whatever it is.
Especially these guys, this foursome of Roman, Kyle, Henry, and Ron are not exactly a foursome of bros. By any definition.
You're a guy. I'm a guy.
Exactly.
You got to do it.
All right, now we meet Andre Arroyo, Bubbles, as he was known, of course.
Bubbles.
Yes, very, very famously.
That maybe, but gross, how about you go out to dinner and a movie, take yourself home, and fuck yourself, okay?
So what project are you working on, huh?
Pride and Prejudice.
Ooh, I love a costume drama.
Buddy cop thing. Pride's a racist white cop in the South, teams up with his rapper named Prejudice, catch a maniac killing hookers.
Yeah. Thank you, Keanu. Isn't he nice? I saw his house on the Starline tour.
She was referring to a young white woman who walked by. So Andre Arroyo, do you buy him at all as this producer character that he's playing?
I mean, I do, but it's just impossible not to see drug addict, very poor Bubbles whenever this guy's on screen.
Yeah, and maybe he's a victim of his own success. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not even gonna try. But who plays Eamon Goth in Schindler's List?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
I don't remember.
The second most famous person in the movie.
I just know Liam Neeson.
Okay, it's Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, Ralph Fiennes.
Fiennes. I can never pronounce it. Yeah, I despise that man with every fiber of my being, and I will not see any movie he's in. Because he was so good in Schindler's List that I always see him as the Nazi commandant, like concentration camp commandant, Eamon Goth. And like then he's in like a rom-com with Jennifer Lopez. And I'm like, no, this is disgusting. He's like one of the most evil people who ever lived.
I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you heard the news. Nazis are good now.
Oh, okay, fine. I reverse everything I just said.
Yeah. No, but I mean, there's good in all people, especially Nazis.
Yeah, there's some Nazis who are good people. But yeah, so Andre Arroyo, maybe, I'm not comparing being a victimized drug addict, obviously, on the streets of Baltimore to being a concentration camp commandant. But he's so iconic and so into that role so well that, yeah. I mean, I bet I've seen him in other things a little bit here and there. But here, he's like this.
Yeah,
like,
I think he was in, was he in Community at some point? I don't remember.
Yes, he was.
I think he was.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone in this episode is just going over the top in their acting. And, maybe that's a spoiler alert for my rating at the end of the episode, but...
Hey, I know the perfect white person. Oh, gosh, where is it? I gotta find him. Hold on. Wait, Kyle, come here!
She can still recognize Kyle.
Look who needs a Southern cop for their movie, huh? Oh. Say something Southern and action.
Oh, looks to me like this young lady's been raped and murdered.
What? Cut, print.
Oh, God.
Yes. Oh, my God. Not since Foghorn Leghorn.
Quit thinking like Owen Wilson. I love his work.
Kyle's just like Owen Wilson, except look at that nose. Straight as an arrow. You might know him if you've ever been to Laos from Jumping Boy.
You do really have a white look.
Gosh, thank you so much. How's that drink coming, Mama?
Escapade, sweetheart. You're never going to believe this. Would you say hi to my daughter, please?
Hi.
Yes.
Yo, send us your stuff.
No. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
No.
Oh,
good. No. This... Fuck. Oh, asshole.
Okay, I'm just gonna tell you, Wesley Snipes. Yes, just like in the movie.
Oh God.
Yeah, I think he's taller than Wesley Snipes. So yeah, so it was the right amount of pee because he did not know until he drank it. Although he didn't swallow, he just swished it in his mouth. So I would say you got to do 5% more champagne, 5% less.
Well, honestly, yeah, that's even better. If you could get the guy to swish it in their mouth, that's like much better than just drinking.
No, but then he spat it out on Kyle.
So fine, that the end part is not good, but you want the maximum amount of time in their mouth so that they're actually like tasting it.
But you always serve just like champagne in your mouth.
Yeah, I don't really drink champagne because it's disgusting.
Okay, but any alcohol.
No,
you're having a cocktail, you're having a wine, you're having a beer. You're not. I mean, maybe if it's something you hate, like vodka, and you're just trying to get drunk. But like, I feel like most drinks, you want to enjoy it. You want to like really get the, you know, get the mouthfeel, get the taste. No.
I mean, I don't think you need to swish in order to get those things.
I swish wine when I mostly drink red wine, and it's very bad for
wine. Teeth. Wine, I sometimes swish.
Wine champagne is wine, Dom.
No, but I don't drink. I don't drink champagne.
Okay, but those who do swish, the people who are asking for the champagne, correct, are likely to be swishers.
Fine.
Okay. All right.
Fine. But they're the ones swishing the wine.
Doing the swishing. Yes, exactly.
They're doing this.
Yeah. All right, we have Henry trying to get into the van here.
All right. Continue. Oh. It's funny that we thought that this would go faster.
Really? Man, off the tits? Sounds so cool.
You know what? It's overrated. But hey, don't worry. I'm going to find you some piss, okay?
What happened to Henry's?
Oh, I don't know.
Never mind. Going to plan B.
Oh, yeah. Miyagi style.
Iago. Jesus.
Hey, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, what's up?
Look,
hey, is your dad?
Well,
I haven't had a chance yet.
Casey, if you have to pee, can you hold it for a little bit and like come back and let me know?
Step
on the code. She wants to be in on the code. Lock?
What are you doing? No, older model van, side locks.
Oh, like, yeah, totally.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, come on.
AF, chill out. There's going to be plenty more at the after party for everybody, all right? Well, it took you long enough, waiter.
All right. You win. I surrender, Joel. And I also have to admit that I always did want to see an Axiom Alien movie. It's just so rich and dense. I never thought they could pull it off without compromising its genius.
Stay true to the book. Pretty much my entire fucking pitch, right, dog?
So, doesn't know even the prologue on Io?
Pre-credit sequence.
It all begins on a methane mine on Io.
So in the title rolls, you're already like, my mind's been fucking blown.
Methane, the gas is.
What about the Mind Eaters Council?
Pretty much the Greek chorus of the entire piece, right, AF?
Citizens of the Empire are selected by lot to have their minds consumed by a council of governing elders.
We got it.
There's no way you could do the whole battle on the Crab Nebula.
Modeled after Nelson at Trafalgar.
I thought Nelson broke up.
So there is an after party.
Yeah, just one second, AF. Flashback during the coronation of Lol. It's gonna be just like the book, man. Everything is in there.
Everything?
Everything.
What about the Mongus?
Gas-based telepathic life form.
Dude, you're gonna fucking shit, because we got James Cameron's FX team designed a kick-ass CGI creature.
A creature?
Yeah, creature.
A creature.
It's gonna be amazing.
The Mongus doesn't even register in the visible spectrum.
A major character, and we have to kind of
turn it into a computerized cartoon,
like Jar Jar Binks.
It's not like Jar Jar. Okay, it's Cameron's people. It's
Jesus
gonna be awesome.
Christ, Joel, are you
Alex? You know who Jar Jar Binks is?
You're insane.
Yeah, he's the racist guy in the new Star Wars that came in like the '90s and the O's or whatever. That's literally all I know.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah.
It's Cameron.
We're done.
It's AF. It's Cameron. You're blowing this out of proportion, man. We should talk about this. You motherfucker.
Hey. Hi. Is everything good?
No. Nothing is good because your underling here just fucked my career.
Oh.
Mongus. AF.
I thought we were just going to be in the champagne.
Ooh. What if Pride's sister was a hooker? That way, with every dead hooker he sees, he's like, that could be my sister.
Yeah, it's gotta be personal. And what if Prejudice's sister is a hooker?
And the sisters are friends.
Calvados.
So Audrey Royal is on cocaine, right?
Seems so.
Yeah. All right. AF is coming to get a drink from a poor lady.
And one of them gets murdered, so it's personal for the other one, and that's everyone. It's personal for every character. It's a perfect movie.
Thank God. What twaddle. These people are Philistines.
And some Jews. That's what's great. Everybody gets along. Well, it looks like we're out.
Philistines and some
Jews. Sorry, I can explain the entire thing.
No. Let me explain about something called integrity. You lied to me. And if I'd known I'd be lied to, I'd have never come to Hollywood.
You're the guest of honor here tonight.
Well, then why can't I get a single, stuck-up female to talk to me for 5 minutes? And why are you out of Calvados?
Mr. Munt, I had no idea that one of my servers was scheming against you. I hope this doesn't affect the comment card.
You are out of Calvados. If I don't get a bottle of Calvados in my hand in the next 2 minutes, I'm gonna cut your dick off and fuck you in your own ass.
Ed Harris?
It's very severe.
Shit. Let me do this.
Right now, Kyle and Henry both have hangers.
Well, that's exactly what I was doing.
No, yours is backwards.
What are you talking about? See, that's your problem right there.
Well,
I mean.
Oh my God. No, please continue. This is just, it's awesome.
Thank God. Thank you, Henry. I need a bottle of Calvados. Give me the keys.
Well, they're locked in the van, Ron.
What do you mean they're locked in the van? Henry, I need a bottle of Calvados now. Okay, what do you want me to do?
I almost got this, guys. It's fucking. Shit!
Nobody else here has a car. They can't just go get, or is the bottle in the car already? I guess it's in the van, right? They must have been told to bring the Calvados. What is Calvados? Is that a tequila?
That's a good question. What's a Calvados?
Calvados is a drink. It's brandy.
Brandy.
It's a brandy from Normandy. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that sounds, it sounds like something AF would drink. Normandy brandy.
Let me do it.
It's still backwards.
Oh, God damn it! I need a bottle now! I need it now.
You know, we could just call AAA.
No!
Oh my God, really? Look at yourselves. You're like clowns. Circus clowns. Just
get out of the way. Oh, get out of the way. Oh, get out of the way.
Wait.
Oh, my come God. On. What are you doing? Run.
Seriously.
Oh,
shut up.
Oh my. All right, so for some reason this cheap shitty van, the glass is so strong that the metal pipe bounces off it repeatedly, but on the softer backswing the fancy BMW whatever SUV behind immediately shatters. Yeah, this I'm fact checking this, but anyway.
Oh my God, what? Oh my
Prince
God
Paul
right
Shear, Joel Munt.
Turn it off.
What the fuck are you doing?
Turn it off.
Is it an Escalade? I think it's an Escalade.
What's going on? My window? My fucking window?
What?
My window. What the fuck is going on? I had this car for a week. What is going on? All right. And are you?
I don't know what happened.
Who the fuck is working this party?
Oh, I'll go do that. Okay, you.
What?
Tell me what happened.
I saw a guy.
Yeah, you saw a guy. What did he look like?
Just got a glimpse. Rough looking guy.
Yeah, black with a black hat. A white guy with a black hat and like a thin mustache.
Yeah, he flew off. I mean, we just came out. He went
like,
boom.
So fast. So there's no way we could get
it. Okay, we'll
fine.
Him.
You know what? Enough. I'll check the security tape. Jesus fucking night.
Great job.
Shit. Okay, so you want to call Vados?
Then he calls Casey in for the sex. He actually did not give the bottle. He took the bottle of Calvados back inside with him.
Hey,
who could turn down an offer of Calvados and sex?
Yes.
Tell me you have Calvados back here.
No.
Fuck. And of course, the security camera has already fucking tape in it. God damn it. Fuck.
He's taking his name off the project.
Ooh.
You fucked me.
You fucked me first.
No, you fucked me first when you fired me.
Then you fucked yourself by being a hack and a sellout.
Fucking Mungus. It's unfilmable. I mean, what does he expect?
I don't know. You're the writer. Figure it out.
It's a telepathic gas. What do you do with that?
Use a disembodied voice.
You can't use a disembodied voice, okay? Real cinematic. You gotta make it.
You can't just use a guy.
Okay.
That's a cop out.
Well, you can't make it CGI either.
What about a container? Like a tank with a computer readout of what's saying. That's a stupid idea.
What if it's a suit?
It'd have to be such a big suit.
It's a scuba suit because on this planet.
Yeah, it's airtight, it's gas tight.
Yeah. And it deflates and inflates when it talks. It'd be amazing. But. Yeah, it can't be CGI.
No.
Just like old times, huh?
Yeah, except you're a millionaire and I'm serving shit food to shit people.
Same shit, though. Just spitballing ideas.
What about a ship? That's the container.
You have a ship with a bunch of little mini ships with guys in suits, and they're all part of the one big thing.
Yeah, no. That's it. I mean, it would be...
It's perfect.
But yeah, no. He won't go for it.
Why?
Because it wrecks the integrity of the piece.
No. Face, I'm fucked.
Did that make any sense, their idea?
I didn't understand that.
The ship with the little boats with the people on it in the suits?
No.
I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sorry about this.
Paul, you're sorry.
The whole thing, it was petty of me, it was small. You deserve better.
Yeah.
It's fucking cocaine.
How do you know Ed Harris? Wasn't he wonderful in Milk Money?
What's Milk Money?
I feel depressed. How do you fix that?
What's Milk Money?
Milk Money was a movie. It was a movie when I was a kid about these young kids who go to the town and go to this big city and hire a prostitute so they could see a naked girl.
And is Ed Harris in it?
I don't know if that's what's being referenced here. Milk Money, 1994 film. Melody Griffith and Ed Harris.
Oh. Yes. Was he great in it?
The film is about three suburban 11-year-old boys who find themselves behind in the battle of the sexes, believing they would regain the upper hand if they could just see a real live naked lady.
Wow, like we did in this episode. Well, I did. You just heard. You heard a real live naked lady.
They hire Melody Griffith.
Yeah. Mm. And who's Ed Harris then?
Who's Ed Harris? Let's see. Ed Harris is Tom Wheeler. Is he one of the kids? I can't be. No. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, he's one of the kids' fathers. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hey.
Hey.
So call me later.
Yeah, if I feel like it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Look at you, one manly act, and you're insufferable.
What are you talking about? All I do are manly acts.
So the manly act was the sex that he had?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So he did not successfully Jimmy the lock.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Oh, slaps her ass.
Sorry, Henry. So how'd you do it, man?
By the way, the unsolicited ass slap in public never goes well. But Henry seems to get away with it.
Generally not.
I found the keys on the ground. Okay, huddle up. Huddle up.
Oh, wait, what? He found the key. I don't remember that. He found the keys on the ground?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ron did not break into it. I totally forgot. He failed to break
into it. He broke the other guy's car. Yeah.
And in the chaos, the keys were found.
Party downers. Tonight's RDDs. Henry, 1. Oh, Casey, 0. Where's Casey? Okay, that's 1. Roman gets a pass because of the revenge thing, and Kyle, that's 3. I'm docking your pay.
Whoa. Oh, are you going to be docking your pay, Ron?
Why?
Well, because you peed in the host's glass and broke his car window.
That's 2. You still have 3. I'm docking your pay.
So, I have this security tape.
Kyle, 0. Hey, where's Lydia?
Oh, thank God. I really need to powder my nose, and I can't find the stuff.
Not cocaine, Seb. All right. Let's see if we get to watch some credits, hear some music, and then let's get back to the action.
It was such a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Theodore. Personally, I don't care if they ever make the movie. The book is perfect.
Thank you, young man. But I think you might quite enjoy the movie.
What do you mean?
AF, after party awaits.
Wait, I thought you were done with that guy.
He redeemed himself with a clever idea. The Mongus will be a ship.
With little mini ships? And guys with suits? That are all part of the gas being?
Yeah.
That was my idea! He stole my fucking idea!
Oh, well, a marvelous idea. Have you ever considered being a writer?
I am a writer, I told
Let's
you.
Let's go!
You're still gonna hang out with a guy who's a hack and a thief?
He's got the drugs and the women. And the keep is a rather cold and lonely place. Good luck to you.
Game, set,
munch. Game, set, munch. Well, why doesn't Roman try and take the opportunity there to get AF to advocate for him as a co-writer, you know, since he came up with this brilliant idea?
I think he's just so, like, at a loss for words. Like, yeah, he's so defeated.
Mm. All right.
Oh, I was trying to read your confidential emails that you had on the screen.
I'm gonna go home and hang myself.
To that.
What? Okay. A huge dork getting into a car full of hot chicks. If that's not a sign of hope, I don't know what is.
That's hope. All right. So how was that?
All right, Alf.
Well, I don't know how official any of these rankings really are. Yeah.
What is your rating for this episode?
I will say that this episode of Party Down is pretty good. I'll say it's 2.5. I think it's definitely subpar. I think, you know, you kind of stressed several times characters just like kind of behaving very silly and over the top, even more than we're accustomed to on this show. The whole through line was just like, I mean, a storyline based on like Roman's rivalry with some, you know, other dweeb, doesn't really carry the episode as well as some of the, more fun episodes we've had recently. So, I'm going to say it's a little bit below average.
Yeah. You know, I would say based on title alone, this is certainly one of the most forgettable episodes. Like neither one of us had any recollection of what it was about before we saw it. The first rewatch, 7 to 9 days ago. And I think part of it's as you said, it's a one dimensional episode, right? Like we have like the douchebag who's seeking to humiliate Roman. And that's like an okay storyline, but that's really the only other story, right? Like nothing really happens with Henry and Casey, trying to get in. Nothing really happens with Ron. Lydia and Coke, mildly amusing, but largely meh. And so, like, when you have a single storyline carrying the episode, the story has to be, like, Hall of Fame, and this one isn't. So I'm exactly with you. I will say the episode is pretty good. That's 2.5 pretties and 2.5 no pretties for me. I'm right down the middle here, which I would not say that's the meaty part of the curve. I'd say that's the lower part of the curve, because we've been generous with our pretty good ratings for Party Down as compared to Curb. Or the rehearsal, I think, right?
Yeah. We're grading on an easier curve.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, come on, be a come with guy.
So we're both simpatico there. What about come with gal or guy? Who do you got?
My come with guy is Ron for stepping up, following the code, and peeing when called upon.
I mean, you are not a Kyle guy. And if you're ever gonna give it to Kyle, you gotta give it to Kyle in this episode, right? Like Roman is about to quit.
Yeah, Kyle's pretty good. Up.
Our episode would have been over after 5 minutes, but Kyle stepped up. Maybe he didn't step up the way that
I'd be sleeping right now.
Yeah. he supports his friend Roman throughout the entire episode. And like Roman is always a dick to Kyle, but Kyle's a good hearted soul, always looking to support his friends and colleagues. And, he deserves credit for that. So the credit he will get he's my come with guy today. So,
I like Kyle,
yes, and enjoy your credit. And,
oh, what? I'm the asshole here? I am. I'm the asshole. I'm the asshole. Oh, I get it. I'm the asshole here, huh?
Put your clothes on, Gordon. No one wants to see your penis. No one.
Well, why? Maybe I'll win an award for best cock.
What about the fucking asshole? I think this one might be pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think it's just an easy Joel sweep here, right?
Yeah, Joel Mund has to be, yes, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's in the conversation. You know, we used to do this on Curb. Who's sort of holding the title belt is the biggest fucking asshole on the show. I think
he's a tremendous douchebag.
When he does like the double cross mid credits, like he seems to redeem himself somewhat toward the end of the episode. He's like, hey, sorry, I was a dick. You know, this is what we should be doing again. And he's still an asshole, but okay, he has one part of humanity. And then he does the double cross. I think he's in the conversation, if only we're keeping track, which we're not, for like just, he is an ultimate fucking asshole here.
Yeah, he's definitely up there.
Yeah. So, I mean, so many cameos in this episode. Where do we get? We have Ed Harris. We have Wesley Snipes. We have Keanu Reeves. yes, we have Paul Scheer and Andre Royo playing characters. Andre Royo playing a character who some think is Wesley Snipes. So that's something. And yeah, Paul Scheer playing Ed Harris. I wonder if they asked Andre Royo and Paul Scheer, hey, who would be like the celebrity that, or like, I wonder who came up with that.
Right. Who do you get mistaken for sometimes?
Or, well, who do you not get? Or who's the worst person you ever got mistaken for?
Like,
Yeah. Andre Royo said, oh yeah, somebody said I look like Wesley Snipes, but I was too short. And that's just, you know, very yeah. So I think on that note, we might be ready to hop right into the postman.
Postman, come here. Tell the neighborhood. Right, what a shunda, Larry. Larry David. Not only are you a lousy Jew. But you're a lousy human being. He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair. Ashanda.
Maybe you should have given me some candy.
You're a lousy Jew.
Let's hop right in.
Stay on the post for many days.
They have. They've been sitting in our mailbag for quite some time.
They got a little song. It was raining.
Yeah, let's open them up. See if they're still readable. Looks like they all smudged, but we'll do our best.
Are there any? First, do we even have two or three that are not smudged?
We only have three. We have three. The rest are all smudged.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, Olin Allen. We can't read your email.
Regrets.
Okay, first up is Alex Orvitz, who says, hi, Alex and Av. The Big Deal Party was another solid episode, if a little strange. Lydia getting into some coke and then interacting with an obviously also coked out Bubbles from The Wire didn't totally work. But Paul Scheer as a worse version of Roman was entertaining, and the sci-fi author was hilariously doofusy. Party, 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 party down. Oh. Four parties. So cool. Alex is a fan. Jim Crumley writes in and says, while I enjoyed the Roman gets revenge storyline, the show works better when Roman does not have the A story. It works better when Henry and Casey have more to do. 3 out of 5 pretties. Come With Guy is A.F. Gordon Theodore, a great version of a four-name science fiction writer. A.E. Van Vogt, J.R.R. Tolkien, Yulisa K.L. Guin, and George R.R. Martin would be proud. He ended up coming along with everything, which was almost enough to flip him to the fucking asshole. Which is Joel Muntz. While he threw a damn fine party, his pettiness toward Roman was way too much. And finally...
I would say it's a fine party. Like, there was multiple instances of urinary consumption. Although they say a big deal party without at least 3 instances of urination consumption is considered
a dull affair. Yes, there was a coke to be had done off ladies' tits, so it's not a super boring party.
Okay, fine.
Zach Brooks ends things off by saying, I never realized Ron's name was Ron Don. That's kind of perfect. I'd love to watch a duodicology. Is that where the MCU is heading? Yeah, probably. Eventually. Was that Bubbles?
He's Ronald Don. Yes, but does that also make him Ron Don? Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
Yeah, but fucking asshole is Muntz. Side note, as an unspooled listener, it's weird to hear Paul Scheer in 1X. Come With Guy is cocaine. Seems to be making quite a party. Shout out to the Down the Hatch podcast giving heroin LV points in the past. Yeah, it's funny. So I've never done either cocaine or heroin. A very very clean folk over here.
Yeah,
but what I've said is that while I haven't tried either, one on TV always looks like a ton of fun,
and the other,
i.e. cocaine, and the other looks like you just like shake in a bed.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Trainspotting when I was way too young. I was like 13 or 14 when I saw Trainspotting.
Yeah.
And I saw, you've seen Trainspotting, obviously, right?
Yeah, it's like a horror movie.
Yeah, but I saw it before. I saw it before I had ever even come in contact with marijuana. And so, to me, just all drugs were like, you know, that scared me much straighter than like Dare. Dare was stupid.
Yeah.
When you're high. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Zach says this was his favorite episode so far and gives it 5 full parties.
Wow. I did not see that coming. What a zag. A Zach, actually. Not a zag.
Yeah. A zag by Zach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's why he noticed that we didn't podcast, because it was his favorite episode.
He's been looking forward to it for many days. Yeah. He's been
sorry to let you down, Zach.
On the edge.
Well, here we are now.
Yeah.
To entertain you.
Yes. Here we are. Next week, we will also be here. Next week, or we're not doing 2 episodes this week to make up, right? We'll be here next week.
Yeah, let's do next week.
Yeah, TBD.
I'm in no rush.
Yeah, we don't have to make firm commitments here. But the next podcast we do, we intend for it to be season 2, episode 9, Cole Landry's Draft Day Party, which means that we are going to traverse from June 11th to June 18th. We will cross Av's 27th birthday. Av, what did you do on your 27th birthday?
I don't know offhand, but I will try to look that up before the next episode. Let's see if I can figure it out.
Yes. A dozen years ago, a dozen and a half. Where were you? Do you remember Cole Landry's draft day party? What it's about?
I assume it's about a draft day party for a fellow named Cole Landry, who I'm guessing is a quarterback, but I guess we'll find out.
Yes. Cole Landry is a star college quarterback. He's been drafted into the NFL, yeah. And a party's been thrown in his honor. I mean, this is all from memory, but yes. Hijinks shall ensue. And then we're just one episode away from the season two finale.
Yeah, we're almost at the end for now.
Yes, for now. Season three shall come sometime after the new year, or so we think.
Yeah, so I think.
Yes. And as Shakespeare says, exeunt.
As he also says, good night.